Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for your word, and thank you for giving us exactly what we need so that we see who you are and that we get out of our own minds and start seeing your mind and start living in your will and your desire for us. Thank you, Father, that you're going to speak through me today and it's not going to be me. Thank you that your Holy Spirit's going to come out of my mouth and it won't be me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oddly enough, just things have been kind of rough lately, and I woke up this morning and I was like, I don't want to get up. I don't want to preach. I don't want to go to work tomorrow. I don't want to do anything. And I was griping. I was like, God, it's all these jerks that are in power, and it's, you know, inflation and all this junk. And I was like, blah, blah. And I got in my truck. I moved my truck so that Mary could back the car out. I was just kind of griping. And I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus, for showing me. I just wasn't trusting you. I mean, what's the point? You know, the worrying doesn't do anything. You can worry about it all day long. But, you know, the Bible says you can't add 1 minute to your life by worrying. So it's like, that was dumb. I just need to put my trust in you, and you'll provide. And that's true. It's like, who cares? All the wicked men could be in power. I could be the only righteous man on the entire earth, and they could all be wicked, and God will still bless me. It's like, I could be totally subdued, and God will just go, here's some blessing and some joy and some peace. And so it's like, but thank goodness I'm not the only righteous person on earth. It's good to have you guys here. All right. So let's see. I just realized I totally left my Bible at home. Let's see. I'm going to, let's see. It was interesting. I had this. God has been showing me stuff. I mean, he's been showing me my shortcomings lately. And it was interesting because I was driving home the other day, and I've been working on at a place that's close to where my dad is buried. And it's so funny to me because I thought, you know, I could pray and God could raise my dad from the dead. And all these weird thoughts come into my head, like, well, what would happen? Would he have to get a social security number again? And all this kind of dumb stuff. I'm like, how would he live in this world now because he's in debt and that they wouldn't know how to deal with that? But that's all the dumb stuff that comes into your head. And then I thought, and then you get this thought. It's like, if my dad, and then I go, yeah, but what if God would raise him from the dead, but he wouldn't open the tomb, and then he'd be stuck in the ground alive? And I'm like, and it's like God is showing me, why do you have enough faith that I could raise him from the dead, but I wouldn't open up the tomb and let him come out? And I'm like, yeah, why? And I'm like, that's so dumb that I could have enough faith that you would literally raise him from the dead, but I don't have enough faith that you would open the ground. And I thought, because I think God is capricious, and he's not. That's because that's the devil. The devil is telling me, well, God does what he wants to do, and he could, you know, God's going to say, the devil is going to trick us into thinking that, you know, what did the devil say? You know, what Jesus said, you know, is the Father going to, if you ask for a fish, he's going to give you a scorpion. If you ask for bread, he's going to give you a stone. No. That is not God. God is not capricious like that. He knows what would bless us, and he knows what's best for us. And when we pray for things, he, even if we miss part of it, he's not going to just give us a little bit like a evil genie and go, well, you just asked for this part, so I'm not going to give you what everything else you need to for that. So, oddly enough, I think he did. I believe I heard him say, he's going to reign with me, so he will be raised one day, but it's not now. So I mean, I already knew that, but it's like, I was like, oh, okay, because I mean, that my sister and I, we thought he wasn't going to die, and then we thought, well, God's going to raise him from the dead, and then he was in the ground. We're like, okay, God, I guess we missed you on that one. And it's hard because when you have an emotional tie to it, you have to be careful not to read your emotions into that and go, well, this, you know, because God already knew my desire, but God's plan is bigger than my desire. And that's actually, oddly enough, I have, since my dad has passed, things have become a lot more evident what is important and what is not important, and what we see, like, we're so worried about life, we forget about eternity. We're like, what are we going to do here on this earth? You know, it's so important that I be alive. You're like, really? God doesn't need you to be alive to do his plan. God will do his plan. What you need to do is just be a vessel while you're here on earth. And I mean, God loves you, his desire is for you, but it's like, we put so much importance on ourselves. And you can see that in today's society. Everybody thinks they want to be famous. You know, they're doing TikToks and, you know, they're on Facebook and YouTube and they're trying to become famous. And it's like, why? I mean, what are you trying to do? It's like, I think people don't know what their end goal is. If I become famous, then I can what? You know, what are you going to do with your life? What's going to be? I always thought if I became famous, then I could be a mouthpiece for God. Why do I have to be famous to be a mouthpiece for God? That's stupid. You know, I mean, it's like, God, if you make me famous, I'll tell people about you. It's like, yeah, but if I'm famous, I'll probably pollute myself. You know, it's like, God shows me who we are. It's like, if I were rich, I would probably waste it. You know, I think some people can be rich because God knows that they're going to be better with their money. If I was rich, I'd probably just buy dumb things and waste it. And it's like, God knows who I am. And he gives me what I need. And he doesn't give me more than I need, because if I get what I don't need, then I will be happy in that. Like, getting back to, you know, the fellow that I work with, he's like, man, the work is kind of drying up. And that was where I was at. I was like, oh, God, what, you know, how am I going to do this? You know, I guess I have to do it now. You know, if his work is drying up, then I have to go find my own work. And I was starting to fret. And then I realized, oh, it's because, even though I know I trust God for everything, I was putting my trust sort of in that man. And it's like, no, my trust has to be in God. And that was the realization, is like, don't trust in man. Trust in God. God can turn on or turn off the spigot of work anytime he wants. And so for me to be afraid of the fact that, oh, now how am I going to provide for my family because I put all my eggs in this basket? It's like, no, you told me to put your eggs in this basket, so that means you already had a plan. And it's like, okay. And it's interesting, because I mean, I did. I mean, I wrote off my landscaping business and my irrigation business. I'm not hanging Christmas lights. I mean, like, that was how I made my money. But God said, go work for this guy. And so if God told me to do it, then he's going to bless it. And I don't have to worry about, you know, I don't have to worry about what I see. I was talking to Ian yesterday, and he was down because things just don't seem to be going. You guys know he's in Japan. So you guys know Ian. Some of you know Ian. He's in Fort Worth Church. He's in Japan to see his daughter, who he hadn't seen in 20 years. And things just don't seem to be going as planned, and he's feeling very dejected. And I said, it's funny because I said this to him yesterday, and then immediately this morning I had to realize that that word was for me as well. It's like you can't go by what you see. The devil is always going to put stuff in front of you, and you're going to go, man, everything is just falling apart. How am I going to get through any of this? What's, you know, it's just not going the way I planned. And it's like, the problem is two things. One, you're not trusting God. And two, you're not seeking God for what God's plan is. We have our own desires and our own plans. And the Bible says we make our plans, but God guides our steps, which means most of the time our plan is wrong. So we're not seeking God. Go after God, and then you can cut out all the wrong part and just be on the right path. You know, I mean, it was like when I was a kid, and I got this realization that life is a lot easier if you just go ahead and do what your parents tell you to do. Stop pushing against that. You know, I'm not saying I didn't secretly sin behind their backs, but because I did. But I was the kid who could. My mom would tell this story about when I was young. And she came home and she noticed there was something wrong with the chocolate cake. And she asked me, did you eat any of the chocolate cake? I said, no, Mom, I didn't eat any of the chocolate cake. She said, if there hadn't been chocolate all over my face, she would have believed me. It's like, oh, man. God, what's awesome is God uses every day to show us who we are and that we need him. And then when we just stop and go, okay, God, you're in charge. I'm going to stop worrying. I'm going to stop stressing. I'm going to stop trying to figure everything out. I'm just going to ask you. You designed everything. This is your world. You designed me. You know my beginning to my earthly end and then new spiritual beginning in heaven. So it's like, why am I, as Paul said, Jesus said to Paul, why are you kicking against the goads? It's like, why? You're doing this the wrong way. And that's so odd. I mean, I was thinking about that yesterday because I talked last week about the church, and it's like we think we fight against the world, but a lot of times we fight against the church, and it's like I keep thinking about all these people that I would love to reach out to who are famous and who are missing it, and it's like one of these guys is Jewish, and I'm like, I'd like to reach out to that guy, but and it's like, why didn't you believe Paul? Paul was your biggest Pharisee guy, and he got changed. So why didn't you hear him? I mean, that guy was the top. I mean, because like everybody else was just, you know, a fisherman or a, you know, of nobody of no importance. I mean, even if you go to the Old Testament, most of those people are still of no importance. David was a shepherd. Yeah, Noah was just a guy. Job was a big deal, but I mean, it's like most of the people that God came in, Abraham, just some guy going around worshiping the wrong gods. Anyway, I'm actually going to turn to James chapter 4. So, but it's no. I can use my phone. Thank you though. So, it's fun when God shows us through our stupidity Himself, because we make a big deal out of things that aren't a big deal. I think I always said that to my youth group when I would teach the youth. I would say, you're going to think something is a big deal, and 2 years from now, you're going to go, why did I ever think that was a big deal? That was so dumb. And that's God with us. We think as adults that we can tell young people things, and then we realize we forget to take that own advice for ourselves. It's like, what we see as important is not. Because it's from our own head. Our own head thinks it's important. But it's like God's like, I can do anything. I can bring food to you from the birds. You know, I can have you build a boat, and I can flood the entire world, and I can keep you safe while everything else is being destroyed. You know, I can pluck you out of the entire world and go, I'm going to make a nation out of you, even though your wife is barren. God doesn't care about circumstance. He's just wanting us to be willing and willing for us to let go of ourselves. And that's hard to do because humans are selfish, you know. So, all right, James chapter 4. I like James. Do you guys like James?
Oh, yeah.
You got to read it right, though, because if you read it wrong, it sounds like a law. Yeah, right. Then it's depressing. It's not a law. So, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts, that the war in, and it's the war in your members. So it's like, it's again, it's in our minds, and I have this idea and you have this idea, and we, you know, like, well, this is right and this is right and blah, blah, blah. It's funny because Jeff Flood said, got this revelation, man, probably a year and a half ago. One person said one thing, one person said another thing, and they seem to be totally opposite. But it's like, we have no idea, because we're all parts of one body. And God may give you a word to do something, and may give this person a word to do something, so you need to find out, do those two things work together, even though they seem to be opposite? It's like, you know, it's like, some people are evangelists, and they're happy, and some people are prophets, and they are not. And those two things seem opposite, because there's a guy going, God is good, and there's a guy like, you're sinners, and it's like, that doesn't seem to gel. But it's like, the guy that says you're a sinner, and this guy says God is good and He loves you anyway, and so they completely go together, but they don't seem to go together. They seem to be fighting each other, but it's one and the same. So it's like, we're not talking to God if we're fighting with each other. It means we're worried about insignificant things. Ye lust and have not, and ye kill, and ye desire to have, and you cannot obtain, and ye fight, and ye war, and ye have not, because you ask not. It's like, it was funny because I was talking the other night, and somebody years ago, a friend of mine said to me, he goes, you know, David killed his best friend and then took his wife, you know. And he's like, God was like, I've given you everything. All you have to do is just ask. Why are you, have I not given you the kingdom? And it's like God just tells us to ask. Seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things shall be given unto you. It's like we're trying to do things of our own strength. Let's see. Ye ask and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. And that's another thing. It's like, I remember when I was young, and the faith movement, they'd be like, just ask God for a Cadillac and blah, blah, blah. And that's like so stupid. I mean, what do you need? If you need one for your ministry, God will provide one, or for your family, whatever. But it's like, don't ask stuff just to provide for your own. There's needs and there's wants. You know, I mean, it's like, I'm not telling, it's like, that's kind of a fine line, because, I mean, God wants us to be fulfilled. So anyways, so don't ask amiss, which is, you know, I don't know. We'll just keep going. you guys know what it means. We as humans can, like, I know when I set my mind on something, I will research it to the nth degree, and I will waste so much time finding out what's the best course of action, what's the best price, and what's, you know, and it's like, that's dumb. I mean, that's like, I could just easily just go, God, should I buy this, and which one? And I could just cut out all the other stuff. I could cut out the you know, the drooling over this one or that one, or finding out, you know, it's just like, just ask God. Just jump to the front of the line. Just go right to the front of the line. God, should I get this, and which one? No. Okay, good. Now I don't have to worry about that. I can just let that go. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? And whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy for God, of God. On the face value, adultery is adultery, but it's also anything. You know, it's overeating, it's wasting stuff, you know, it's lusting. It's like, to adulterate is just, it's to pollute, you know. It's like, go ahead. It could be anything. Yeah, it doesn't have to be, you know, the young girl left. It doesn't have to be sex. Your daughter left, so I can say it. So it can be anything. I mean, it's so funny, work. It's, you think, well, how could work be bad? It's like, but if you make work your God, work is a lot of people's gods. I have a friend who just let his whole marriage fall apart just because he just put everything into his work, and he totally neglected his family. A lot of ministers do that. Ministers will put everything into the ministry and neglect their family. It's like, God is all important. It's like, no. God, your first ministry is to your family as a minister. And then your second ministry is to the church. If God gave you the ministry to church, your family is still your first ministry, and you must take care of them. That's God's design. You're their head. And so they have to be blessed. You can't forsake your family for God. That doesn't make God happy. I mean, God's happy with us regardless, because he knows our shortcomings. But it's like, so adultery doesn't have to just be sex. It could be many things. And I think in the Bible, it'll say something and we'll just kind of pin it into that. It's like, no, it's like that. So we don't, you know, it's so funny, because to me, it's hard for me to understand what it means to be a friend of the world, because I've been saved since I was 8. So I don't know that. I understand it philosophically, but it's like, I don't, because to me, the world is so evil. It's like, why would you want that? It's like they're just corrupt, and they're always fighting with each other. And it's. I mean, you can see that, and I know that's God in me that can see that. I can see that they're always fighting for power, and I'm just like, I just want to worship God. It's like I don't need money and houses and cars. And I always think that. I always think, these billionaires, I mean, why do you need more money? What are you going to do with more money? And it's like, well, I have to have power, and then I can do it. It's like, why? What are you getting from it? The place where I get coffee, I drive down, and they've got all the black and white signs, if you know what the black and white signs are, and they're all up and down the street for politics. and I go, why would you vote for that guy? That guy doesn't want to bless you at all. You just hate this guy who's also a jerk, but you hate him, and so you're going to vote for the idiot. It's like, I don't understand. He doesn't want to bless you. This guy at least is pretending to want to bless you. At least go with the pretender instead of the guy who obviously doesn't. It's like... So it's like, I could see that, you know. I mean, the world only seeks after themselves. So enmity with God is just because their only desire is themselves. They are God. I mean, this whole new generation is making themselves God. I mean, that's the whole thing about social media. It's like, look at me. I'm important. What matters to me is what's important. And if you don't like it, you're at fault. And it's like, who are you? Are you God? No, you're not. But they think they are. They're putting themselves in the place of God. And that's why they're so miserable, because they're lousy gods, you know, and they're seeking. They have no idea. This new generation has seen, well, this new generation has seen, like, because I think we got to a point where they're so polluted that the next generation is like, wow, you guys aren't happy. You did pretty much the worst thing that anybody could ever do, and you guys still aren't happy, so that must not be it. And so I can't see that this next generation could be worse. I think it's got to come back the other way. It's like, hallelujah. Anyway, only God knows. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? So that's, you know, our flesh and our spirit are going to war the entire time we're alive. Our spirit, when you're saved, your spirit is perfect. It's whole. It's like people say, well, I need more faith. No, when you said, Jesus, I sin, come into my life, your spirit is immediately perfect. Yeah. It doesn't need any more work. Yeah. There's nothing that needs to be fixed or added. You don't need to do anything more to it. Your flesh, on the other hand, will always sin till the day you die. It's evil. And so when you feed your spirit, it is able to dominate your flesh. And when you feed your flesh, it's way louder than your spirit. So that's why you got to be in the Word every day. And I know that for a fact, because there are times when I'll go in a lull and I won't spend time with God, and my flesh gets louder and louder, and I do dumber and dumber things. And there's no joy in it. You think there is. You think, there's joy in this, and there's not. Because that's the devil. The devil goes, you know that thing you do, that brings you joy. And you go, yeah, kind of, maybe. And then you remember, no, it doesn't. I mean, you know in your spirit immediately goes, no, it doesn't. And then your flesh goes, well, maybe. And then they war. And then if you're in God, and God is louder, and you're hearing God's voice, you realize, yeah, the devil's desire is not to bring you joy. It's to keep you from spreading God's word, keep you miserable, keep you distracted. Remember, he is the father of lies. That's what he's best at. He's best at deception. And that's one thing that I can't... like my mom said, I was a very good liar. But it's like, it's funny, the sins we're good at is the sins that I hate the most in people. I don't like people to be liars. It's like, just be honest. I don't even care. If you're wicked, just tell me. I'm wicked. I'm like, awesome, great, be wicked. That's better than lying to me. It's like, don't lie to me and say you're good. Don't be the bum that comes up and says, well, my house burned down last week, blah, blah, blah. Just say, hey, dude, I'm hard up and I need some money. Great. I don't need a story. Don't lie to me. I had a guy, it was funny, this is a true story. The true story is I had a man come up to me. I was at CVS, and he asked me for money. And he said, yeah, my house burned down, and I don't have any place for my kids to stay, and so I gave him some money. And the next week, he came up to me again, and I said, how are your kids? He goes, oh, I don't have any kids. And I'm like, dude, you need to get your story straight. Last week, your house burned down, and your kids had no place to stay. I mean, I respect people, even if you're wicked. Be wicked, but just be honest. Just tell me, hey, I want to dominate you. Okay, good, I can work with that. But if you're lying to me, then I have to, you know, it's like, I don't know. Right, you need God. It was funny. That was, and I've told you, I think I've told you guys this before. It's like when Trump was in office, you know, everything was, it was going pretty well. And then it was funny when Biden was elected, I was like, oh man, I'm going to need a real God. I'm going to need God to be real in my life because everything's about to fall apart. And I don't know why people didn't realize that. They're like, well, we'll just have to, in 4 years. We'll, I'm like, no, everything, it's going to get awful. They want it to be awful so that we give up our freedoms so that they'll take care of us so that they can enslave us. I don't understand that concept. It's like, why would you want to enslave other men? It's like, it's just the devil. Yeah. Everything boils down to the devil. Yeah. Every time you see somebody sin, you go, that's the devil. The devil is a liar. He has lied to that person to think, I need to go, you know, subdue this man so that I can be happy. That's not that. That's not in that man's mind. That's the devil puts that stuff, you know. Because, I mean, it's stupid if you think about it. You're like, why? You just logically just think about it. Why would that make me happy? It doesn't. It doesn't make you happy. I mean, what's it getting at? First of all, he doesn't know me. He could subdue me, and he doesn't know me. He doesn't know anything about me. Why does that make him happy? It doesn't. You know, they think if they destroy a third of the world, that it'll be better. It's like, yeah, but who are the people who are going to do all the jobs? We need trash men and people that are teachers. And, you know, it's like if you kill off a third of the world, it's going to fall apart. I mean, you guys have obviously never read apocalyptic books or seen the movies because it never turns out good. It's like, oh man, God laughs at those people. That's the funny thing, is they make all these grand plans, and it's, the Bible says God laughs. Yeah. It's like, you're,
thank you, Jesus.
It's like, it's funny to him. He's like, oh, look at them, they think they're gonna do something. they're only allowed to do what God allows them to do. Let's see. Oh man, I went too far. Ah, okay. But we're getting to the good stuff. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So proud, when proud, it just means I can do it without God. Humble just means you realize that I can't do anything without God. Doesn't mean you're like, oh, it just means, God, I give up. You're right, I can't do anything without you. And the proud guy still thinks he can do it on his own. Submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that's awesome. That's a good verse, because when the devil comes to attack you, you just go, devil, you're a liar. And he'll give up because he realizes you're not easy prey. He's the devil always goes for low-hanging fruit. And he may go for the low-hanging fruit that's in your life to come after you. I know the devil will attack my wife to make me miserable. And so that's why I got to always be praying over my wife. Because my wife is more emotionally driven. And she'll see things and she'll freak out about it. And I go, hey, God's in control. Yeah, but no, that's it. That's the end of it. God's in control. It's like, so I have to, God, protect my wife. Keep her from all this garbage the devil's trying to feed into her mind. She worries about things. And it's funny, I don't worry about anything. And if I'm worried, she's really worried because I don't worry about anything. Because God's in control. I mean, what am I going to do? How can I fix anything? If God's in control, I can't, in my own power, do anything. I just have to let God do it. It's like, I say this a lot, but it's like, you can be in a world, trouble is going to come to you regardless of whether you have God in you or not. I'd rather have God in me when the trouble comes. It's funny I say that. I know I say this a lot. It's because my dad repeated things so often. I'd be like, Dad, you've already said that. You already said that three times today. And so I'm always conscious of that. And so I'll say, I know I've said this before. I should probably stop doing that. But hallelujah. my wife and I used to have a joke. Oh, it's stories from my youth. My dad would start telling, Dad, we've heard these stories 50 times. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And it's easy. It's like we war within ourselves, and it's like we know God's put in us a conscience, and so we know what's right. But then we have our flesh, and we... Anyway. Just spending time with God, it straightens it all out. You know, I find that's it. I mean, especially I know when I get confused, I'll get to a point where like my wife will go, well, what's wrong? And I'll go, I'm tired. And she'll be like physically? I'm like, no, like mentally my brain is exhausted. And it's because I'm double-minded. I'm fighting with the world, trying to trust God, and I'm not, and it's like I just need to trust God. Because that means I'm not trying to do it. I realize, God, I need to give up. And that's the greatest gift, is knowing that you can give up and God will do it. It's like, wow, what a blessing to know that we can trust our Creator. And He's not, like as I was saying earlier, He's not capricious. And I don't know where that even comes from. I mean, if you look at all the... There was somebody the other day, and I sent them a message, and it was like, I said, if you ever want to talk about God, let me know. And I said, not religion. I mean God. Because religion is man-made. It's always polluted. There's always man in religion. But God is pure. People just don't understand who God is. And I'm starting to realize that. You see many Christians and they don't understand who God is. They have a wrong picture of who God is because they've been taught wrong. And the thing is, if you don't correct that, then they're going to teach their kids and they're going to teach their kids and they're going to teach their kids, and the wrong teaching is going to keep going and going and going. And you're all going to, you know, it's like the granddaughter, Mom, why do we chop off the end of the turkey before we put it in the pot? Well, my mom did it. Well, why did your mom do it? I don't know. Well, because her pot was too small. And that's why you chop off the end of the turkey before you put it in the pot. You know, it's just the wrong teaching just keeps getting passed on, and we don't know why we do it. You know, that was a bad analogy. Anyway, so you got to go back to the beginning. You got to go, what does God say? And that's even if you don't get into the Word, just talk to God. God, what is your desire? You know, He speaks to us if we're ready. Even if we're not ready, sometimes He yells at us. It's usually really quiet, though. The devil's the one that's usually yelling. God's really quiet. I love you, He'll say. You guys ever hear Him say that? That's pretty awesome. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. Okay. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter turn to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. It's like that seems opposite. You know, be afflicted and mourn and weep. But humble yourselves before God, and He'll lift you up. So it's like God always does things opposite of what we think, the way we think He's going to do it, and that's always exciting, because then who gets the glory? He does. We don't get the glory. We go, well, this is the way it should be done. And then God does it completely the opposite. And it's like, well, that wasn't my plan. So I guess I don't get the credit for that. But it turned out perfect. So, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy, and who art thou that judgest another? So, we're not the judge. That's something that I've had to wrestle with in my life, because you look at people and you go, God, that guy is sinning. And then you go, oh yeah, there, but by the grace of God go I. Thank you, God is in me, and I am not where that guy is at. I still sin. I mean, I sin every day. And I will sin until the day I die. But it's less and less, because my flesh dies faster. Was it? Is it Paul that said, I die daily? You got to. I mean, that word about the seeing yourself in the mirror, it's interesting, because you do. We look in the mirror and we see ourselves, and then we walk away and we completely forget who we are. We forget who we are in Christ. We are, so you have to, you know, you have to kill yourself every day. Flesh die, and then you go, I am righteous, I am holy, I am beloved of God. You know, you have to know who you are. And it's crazy how quick we forget. I mean, you think the Israelites, it's funny, they went, Moses parted the Red Sea, and they went through, and God brought them bread, and on Sundays they got quail, and it's like, and he did all these amazing things, took them out of Egypt, and it wasn't even half a generation, and they'd already forgot. And two generations, they were polluting themselves. It's like, How quickly can we forget who God is and everything he's done for us? It doesn't take long. And it's weird. You think, you know, God will do something. You're like, wow, I will never forget that. God will give you a word. You go, that was amazing. And you're like, I should write that down. No, I'll never forget that. And the next morning you go, what was that word that God gave me? It was amazing. Write it down, because you won't remember it. I guarantee it. You will not remember it. It's like, you're like, I know it had something to do sort of a kind of, anyway, hallelujah. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest one another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? Is it even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away? For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. So it's like, I always think it's funny, because I was talking to my mom about this morning. I think it's funny that, because Every time in business I start to get ahead, everything falls apart in the country, and I'm right back where I was. And I think God, why can I never get ahead? And then I go, are you just trying to show me that I have to completely rely on you, and that I don't even need to worry about it? I don't need to get ahead. I don't need to have extra grain stored away, because you will always provide for me. You know, I mean, maybe that's me being foolish, but I think that's just God saying, just trust me. I'll be your provider. Don't worry about storing up stuff. You don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow or 3 weeks or 2 years or what's going to go on. Whenever you need it, I will provide it. Stop worrying about. So that's just always, and again, every person is different. So if you've got money in the bank, I'm not telling you to do something with it. I'm just saying, God works with every person differently, because we're all different people, and some people need one thing, some people need another thing. So, you know, if God is doing, if God tells you something in your life, seek Him about it. Don't just take my experience and go, well, that's me too. Because God, we're all different. And God has a different purpose for every one of us. You know, I mean, there are people that make great amounts of money and they're able to bless the ministry with it. I'm not one of them. Thank God. And what a burden. I said that this morning. I was leaving. I hate money. I do, because it's such a pain. I'd love to go back to the time where I raise cows and you raise chickens and you go, hey, I'll give you 10 chickens for one cow. I'm like, great. This is awesome. That sounds wonderful to me. You know, it's like, you know, you're not beholden to some government who's wasting all your money and sending it overseas to some corrupt guy who said he's going to do something and he's not doing it. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So, yeah. Those two verses could have a whole sermon on their own. I'm not even going to go there. I'm just going to keep going. Go to now, ye rich men, and weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupt, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasures together for the last days. Behold, the hire of your labor, who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on earth and been wanton, and ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter, and ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he received early, in the latter rain. So it's like, this is literally everything that's going on right now. And God is saying, He hears us. He sees us. You know, when I lose my faith, I mean, I don't lose my faith, but you know, when I go, God, everything's falling apart, what am I going to do? And then the quicker I remember, oh yeah, God's in control. I mean, like, I could worry about that for 4 days. Or as of this morning, I woke up at 7:30, and by 8:30, I'd already remembered, oh yeah, God's in control. That was me dying to my flesh. It only took me an hour this morning. That's good. Sometimes we can take forever to die to our flesh. There are evil men in this world. We're all evil to start with, but there are men who want to do evil to other men. But God's going to bless us. So just, I guess if anything, like, today is the day before Reformation Sunday, and the whole point of Luther was he wanted to reform the Catholic Church. He wanted to get rid of the hypocrisy out of the church. He's like, this isn't in the scripture. But the problem is, it was a religion. I mean, the whole point of that church was not to lead people to God. It was to make, more or less, slaves. People that would come and give their money and be poor. And it's like, they didn't help the poor. They fleeced the flock. So, as believers, we need to not... I was telling my mom this morning, it was interesting, I was listening to a young lady, and she was a liberal and is now conservative, and she said the problem with conservatives is they have no activists like the liberals do. So the activists are always telling you exactly what they want and what they want to happen. And conservatives don't do that. Well, it's the same with Christians. We're quiet. We don't tell people what God's desire is for them. We don't tell people that God loves them. We just kind of go around going, you know, I'm happy and I'm in God. And I'm sort of lackadaisical. I'll go, well, I'm supposed to be salt and light, so I'll just walk around and wait till somebody asks me. Well, that's, you know, maybe that's a good plan. Maybe it's probably not. I should be more vocal. I should be shouting it from the rooftops. My God loves you. He wants to bless you. You have been probably taught many things, or people have told you many things that are incorrect about God. Let me tell you who the real God is, not this made-up God that people have polluted over the years. You know, as my dad would say, God is not an angry judge. He's a loving father. So many people think that they can't ever come to God because they have to fix up before they come to God. Well, I have to stop doing things before I come to God. No, God wants you just as you are. Even if you stay polluted till the day you die, God just wants you to come to Him and to know Him and then to spend eternity with Him. It's God's job to fix you up. It's not your job. So we need to tell people that, because they're like, I can't come to God. I'm not fixed up. So,
David, I don't think God's trying to fix us up. I think He's trying to live for us.
Amen. Exactly.
We can't fix up the old man.
No, you're right. Good point.
That's to be reckoned dead.
Amen.
Because that's flesh. And everything that happens is just manifestation of the flesh.
Good word.
And I believe that. I hate saying it this way, but when we say, I'm going to sin until the day I die, I believe that's the same as saying, there's giants in the land.
Yeah.
Caleb says, no, no, God's well able to take us in.
Yeah.
He's well able to perfect us.
Amen.
Some must enter in. And whether that's me or somebody else, I don't know who it is, but I believe that word.
Yeah.
We are not going to sin until the day we die.
I think where I come when I say that is people, so I agree with you. People are so worried about their sin that they don't come to God. And so they're like, well, if I sin, I can't come to God. And so I think that to me is just saying, God is not worried about the sin. That's probably a more accurate statement. God is not worried about your sin. He has already died for it. He already took care of it. Your sin is covered. Because I know in my life, my own personal life, there's a lot of sin I don't do anymore because I know God has taken it out of me. Because He's shown me, not because I'm not capable of it, because I'm totally capable of it, but He's shown me there's no life in it. It's death. And it's like... So yeah, exactly what you were saying.
Yeah, I think most people have the wrong picture of repent.
Yeah.
Like your dad always would say.
Yeah.
Repent is comfort ye.
Yeah.
Your warfare is over.
Yeah.
We're not fighting against the old man.
Yeah. That's a much better way of putting it.
And that's such more freedom and rest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank God for that.
That was a better way of putting it than you're going to sin to the day you die. Thank you for sharing that. It's good. Well, I love you guys. If God tells you to talk to a homeless guy, do it. Give him $5.
Amen.
So.
Joe is one of the heroes of faith.
That's right.
Amen.
So.
May I pick up, Jim?
Yes.
Yesterday I was telling David that I was setting my sign to be knocking down sometimes with a wind or rain or something. For your ordination. And there was a man there, a